Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being here this morning. I thank you for everybody who's here this morning and has made it to service and just led up to this week, just preparing our hearts and our minds, Lord. Just thank you for keeping us safe and thank you for this passage of Scripture that you've given to us to show us what behaviors and characteristics that we can manifest in our life to be able to have a testimony and witness to other people. And just thank you for Pastor Brian leading us as a shepherd and congregationally on Sunday mornings, and just pray that everybody can be fed spiritually today. Just thank you for everyone who's made it a priority to be here, and just bless us today and keep us all safe and help us to have a good day, spend time with each other, and bless your word and just allow me to get out of the way and your Holy Spirit just to teach us what you want us to know in your word this morning. And we thank you, and thank you for loving us and being good to us as a good father. And just pray that everyone's blessed this morning in the word. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to look at gentleness. As you've started this series with Luke, the first few weeks has been, we see the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And this is the fifth characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that we'll be talking about today. And I'm sure it's been mentioned numerous times, but I'm going to mention it again, is that that you must be saved. You must have a personal relationship with Christ to bear fruit that we're going to talk about. And to manifest fruit, the fruit that's talking about here is the capital S. You see verse 22. The Spirit is the letter S is capitalized. And so you have to be a Christian. You have to be a Christ follower. You have to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you to manifest the fruit of these characteristic traits that we're going to talk about. So that's the first step, is just to having a personal relationship with the Lord and getting that taken care of. That's God's will for each and every person on the planet, is to, if you're not saved, to get saved, and then once you're saved, to be sanctified through God and through Him living and through you. So, we are in a daily spiritual battle with our flesh. And if you go back to, just go back up a few verses in verse 16, here in Galatians chapter 5, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And then in the following verses, in the flesh lusts against the Spirit, in verse 17, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary the one to the other. And in verse 19 and 20 and 21, we see the works of the flesh are manifest, which are all these vile and wicked things that, guess what? We all do all of this stuff that's listed in here. I mean, I've done everything at some point in my life, maybe except for excluding murder, I guess. But most of these are just simply works of the flesh. And believe it or not, even as a saved person, you can manifest these, and that's when you let the flesh ruling your body, and you're not letting the Spirit control you. And if you're not manifesting fruit of the Spirit in your life, then you're manifesting works of the flesh, which are all listed here. And that's what we all battle. That's what we all face every day, is a spiritual battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, the next book over, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood in verse 12. So, As a Christ follower, as a saved person, once you're in God's family and you're not just born of your physical family, your physical father anymore, you have a spiritual father. Once you're in God's family, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We know that we're in a spiritual battle every day, and the basis. So when we get to verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I'll read both of these verses, and I'm going to read down to verse 25 because we're going to talk about verse 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So verse 25 and verse 16 are kind of contrasting those verses together with each other, because they're similar in how they're written. But we're going to talk about both of those verses. But the basis, the foundation on which all of these fruit of the Spirit characteristics are manifested is, what's the first one listed? In verse 22, yeah, love. The basis of all of the fruit of the Spirit, all of the inward workings of the Holy Spirit working through us, the basis and the foundation is love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes a whole chapter about charity, about love, and he says that if I don't have love, I don't have anything. You can't manifest any of these characteristics if you just don't simply first display love and exhort love to other people. And I'm talking about, you know, your enemies, lost people. You guys hear it all the time here at HBF. Love God and love people. And that's the start of what we have to do to let the Holy Spirit live in us and work through us, is to love. And you see here, you can kind of separate these characteristics. There's nine of them, and you can kind of break them up into three groups. The first ones that we see is love, joy, peace. Those are like inward expressions to ourself. The love, joy, peace, we can experience love, joy, peace that passes all understanding, joy in circumstances that, you know, people wonder how you have such joy over in troubled, in hard times in life. It's because you have the joy from the Spirit. And those are inward manifestations that we can have. And then long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, the next three are kind of outward expressions that we can express to other people. So you have you talked about it last week. You can have long-suffering to other people, patience, in other words. You can kind of say it that in a different way, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness you can express to other people. And then the last three are manifestations towards, expressions towards God, which is faith, meekness, and temperance. And faith, it says in Hebrews chapter 11 that, we must have faith to please God. And meekness, talks about Moses was the meekest man, on earth, and back in the Old Testament. And it likens Moses, it likens Christ in one of the verses we're going to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, meekness, and gentleness of Christ is one of the things that we'll see. So Christ was meek. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is just being strong in the right ways, having control of yourself. And temperance is another word that people have said about what they think temperance is. That some versions of our Bible, depending on what version of the Bible you read out of, it won't say temperance. It will say self-control. And I don't really like using that. That's not really what the word actually means. I would say another way to describe temperance is spirit controlled. So whenever you temperance, if they make glass and steel, tempered glass and tempered steel, they take certain parts of the glass out and they combine, they mix it, they put other parts in. So you're combining, certain parts of glass. That's why, like, when your windshield breaks on your car, it doesn't just shatter into a million pieces. It just spider webs. It doesn't shatter out like normal glass does. It's because it's tempered glass. And when we think of temperance, spiritually speaking, that when the Holy Spirit is controlled, it's more of spirit control, that you're allowing, God has taken some things away out of your, you know, behaviors that you have, and allowing you to take other behaviors into your life, and allowing you to be tempered and moderate unto all men, is what the Bible says. That when these are manifested in our life, we learn how to start combining them together, and we testify to other people of Christ working through us. So Back in verse 16, like I mentioned, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. This word walk, the reason I brought these two verses up is verse 16 and verse 25, where it both mentions walk. Walk in the Spirit. The reason I brought these up is because if you look both of these words up in the Greek description of them, the first one in verse 16 is describing learning how to, it's learning, it's just putting one foot in front of the other. I didn't even write it down. I was looking for it. It's putting one foot in front of the other. It's learning how to walk. It's like a little child, like Zebin, when he first learned how to walk, is, you know, his mom and dad would hold his hand, or whoever was there holding his hand. And what's something that you often do when you first start learning how to walk? What is something that happens to us whenever you first start? You fall down. We fall down. Yeah. So this word used in verse 16, this walk in the Spirit, when you first get saved and you first start learning how to walk with Christ and learning about these fruits of the Spirit, you're just learning how to walk. You're doing it one day at a time, and you're putting one foot in front of the other. This is growing and maturing in the Spirit. And then as you get older and wiser and mature spiritually, you don't fall down anymore. It's like walking. It's like learning how to walk as a child and then learning how to walk as an adult. You know, I don't just fall down when I'm walking, like I used to when I was a child. And in verse 25, that walk in the Spirit, that word that's used in verse 25, if you look that word up, it's a different Greek word, and it's to proceed in a row as the march of a soldier, to go in order. So it's a different word used in both those verse 16 and verse 25, and it's walking with purpose. You know which direction you're headed. You know God, you're learning God's purpose for your life, and you're walking more maturely, and you're not falling into the same sins that you once were, and you're allowing the fruit of the Spirit to manifest itself through you, and you're learning how to have victory over sins in your life, and you're learning how to walk in the Spirit with purpose. Those are two kind of different uses of the word walk. I'm sorry, but this is all about having victory over sin. I mean, this passage that Paul has given us here, it is written to the book of, or the church of Galatia, the fruit of the Spirit. This is a recipe for us to have victory over sin. That's what this is. This is what we need. I mean, these are the things that we need to be reading, meditating on, memorizing, this fruit of the Spirit, manifesting these characteristics in our life to other people and to other believers is a recipe for us to have victory over sin. Hi. Oh, that's not going to be a distraction.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead. No, thanks for coming. Guys, grab one of those if you need one, and I'm going to keep going. So.
I warmed those up.
This is all about having victory over sin. We have the answer. We have the solution. The Holy Spirit gives us victory over sin. If we flip back a couple chapters to Galatians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles and are able to turn there, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we have a good picture of a description of the Apostle Paul, what he wrote to us just a couple chapters back. In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You guys are probably familiar with this verse. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, capital S, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he says, I'm still alive physically, but spiritually, Christ lives in me and lives through me, and he's manifests his life through me. So that's just one key verse that Paul uses to tell when he writes to the church of Galatia that, crucify your flesh and don't allow the works of the flesh to be more manifested in your life than the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit, as we see here in verse in chapter 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is singular. And as it's, I know it was mentioned a couple Wednesdays ago, Luke brought up the passage. He took us to a passage in the book of John, chapter 15, and he talked about what's the chapter, John chapter 15. Does anybody remember what that's about?
The vine.
The vine?
Yeah.
Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We have to abide in Jesus, and we have to be connected to the vine, right? He talked about being connected to the vine. And if we abide in Christ, in Him, in us, we will bring forth fruit. Okay, that's why this word here, that's why this word is the use of singular, the word fruit of the Spirit, because Jesus, this Christ wants us to bear fruit, bear much fruit, and as we see in John chapter 15, and bear fruit that remains. Okay, like Luke mentioned a couple Wednesdays ago. So without Christ, we can do nothing. And as also mentioned in that passage, the Father is glorified. You see that it says, I don't remember exactly what verse it is. I can turn back there, but for time's sake, I'll just say, it mentions the Father is glorified when we bear fruit, when we bear spiritual fruit in our life, the Father is glorified and He wants us to bear fruit, fruit that remains. And it says, so shall you be my disciples if you're doing that. So none of this is possible without Christ and our personal relationship to Him. So you see, love, joy, peace are inward. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness are outward. Faith, meekness, temperance is to God. And so gentleness, when we look at the word specifically gentleness, what does this make us think of? Gentleness. Why is it important for Him to have this word in as one of these nine characteristics for us? What is gentleness? What does it make you think of? Just off the top of your head. Anybody? Gentleness, yeah. Hallie is softly. Gentleness. You know what it makes me think of is how a mother cares for her child. That's one of the, it's soft and it's gentle.
And I don't know if that's true or not.
Let me rephrase that. Some mothers and their child. Okay, the father, oftentimes, maybe not as gentle as the mother. You know, the father picks up the child and tosses him up in the air and is playing around with the little kid. But the mother is being very soft and gentle. And that's what we need to be towards others with our words and our actions, is soft and gentle, expressing gentleness. And it's mentioned, this word gentleness is only mentioned four times in the entire Bible. Four times. So real quick, turn back to 2 Samuel to chapter 22 real quick, and we'll hit these, we'll look at these four mentions of this word gentleness. If I can find it, I should have marked it. 2 Samuel 22. And this is, if you have a Bible like mine, it's a study Bible, it tells us at the beginning of this chapter, it says, David's song of deliverance. And this was King David's song of deliverance that he is recorded for us whenever he was fleeing from his enemies, whenever he was fleeing from King Saul, who was trying to kill him, and the army, his whole army that was after him. This is David's song of deliverance to God. And you see in verse 2 of chapter 22 of 2 Samuel, it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, which speaks of strength. The horn speaks of strength. My high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Okay, this is David's song of deliverance. And if you go down to verse 36 of the same chapter, 22. He says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. So that's the first time this word is mentioned in Scripture, and thy gentleness hath made me great. If you keep that in mind right there, what we just read, turn over to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. And as I mentioned, if you have a Bible like my Bible, which is a study Bible, a Scofield study Bible, at the beginning of this chapter it says, A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, is what it says at the beginning of this chapter. So this Psalms chapter 18 is it directly correlates with that chapter in 2 Samuel 22 where it says it was David's song of deliverance. And if you read through this psalm, there's a lot of verses that are very similar as that Psalms 2 Samuel 22. And if we go down to verse 35 of chapter 18, it says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." It's almost word for word as what we saw in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And when God mentions something to us in the Bible, just so you guys know for future reference, God has everything in here that He wants us to know and hear and read and understand. Whenever God mentions something to us, it's in here. He's got a good reason for it. Whenever something is mentioned more than one time, that's full confirmation that you need to look and see what that is telling you. And God is trying to show you something by when verses are repeated in the Bible. That is something that we should all be paying attention, close attention to. Jesus was gentle, okay? And when we look at the Psalm of Deliverance, David crying out to God, "Deliver me," he says. That's what he was saying in the 2 Samuel, was "Deliver me," crying out to God. David understood how powerful God really was and is. He had a personal relationship with Him. This is describing for us what this word means and how we're to treat others. It's because God is powerful. David understood God, how powerful God was. And then it also shows, He tells him how gentle He was. And by being there and delivering him from his enemies and taking care of him. And that's how we can kind of picture, you know, God and Jesus for us, is that God is all powerful. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He can do anything He wants to do, but He's also as caring, as a loving, as a mother cares for her child. And that gives us a good description of this word gentleness. And the third time that the word gentleness is mentioned is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So flip over to 2 Corinthians, go back to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 10, real quick, and then we'll be back in Galatians. Hey, bud, good morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, Paul, myself, beseech you, says, I beg you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So right there, description of Jesus Christ. And if you look back in the Gospels, we see how Jesus Christ treated other people, how He treated His disciples, and how He treated anybody who came across His path from day to day. Lost people, poor people, rich people. It says Jesus was meekness. It says there in verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So like we said, meekness is not weakness. But it's strong in through Christ who strengthens us. Okay, just as Moses was. And it says Jesus was meekness and gentleness. And then back in Galatians chapter 5, flip back over there and our passage that we're looking at. Which way am I going? Galatians chapter 5. The fifth characteristic, like I said, practical application, to help this make sense to us, the practical application, how does this apply to us? Brendan did a devotion several weeks ago about application, okay? What does gentleness have to do with anything, anybody? What does it matter that it's in here, okay? It's a daily, like I said, it's a daily walk every day. One foot in front of the other, right? We're learning to walk as a baby Christian. Spiritually, you just get saved. You start you don't know anything about the Bible, you've never been to church before, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you, what your background is. None of that matters. What matters is the day you get saved, you start learning how to put one foot in front of the other. You're learning how to start doing a daily walk, a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle every day, that we fight against our flesh. That the works of the flesh is what we do, right? Just think of it that way. The works of the flesh that it says in Galatians 5 and verse 19, the works of the flesh, these are things that we do. These are actions and things that we do physically. And, the Ten Commandments, we know, was given to us to control the flesh, right? It's thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not take the Lord in the name in vain. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. The Ten Commandments were a short version of one of the reasons why the Ten Commandments are important for us today is that we don't have to live by the Ten Commandments anymore because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. When Jesus Christ came and sacrificed on the cross for our sins, He said that it is finished. Okay, we don't live by the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are there to show us that we could never live by. We could never fulfill all the Ten Commandments. We could never be perfect in our life and get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are there to show us that we need a Savior and that we're not perfect and that we're not good enough. But Christ is. And Christ, His sacrifice that He gave for us is what we need. So the Christian life can be summed up in, it's not, I know I used to hear a lot, when I was your guys' age about, oh, you're a Christian, so you can't cuss and you can't drink and you can't do this and that. And it's like, no, I can do all that stuff if I choose to. I choose not to. The Christian life is not a bunch of do's. So the Christian life is not spelled D-O, as in do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. You can spell it as D-O-N-E, done. Christ fulfilled the law for us. We choose not to do those things. We choose not to cuss. We choose not to, at least I try to, these things I try to do. And once upon a time I did do a lot of that stuff. And I try not to do it anymore. I try not to, do the works of my flesh because, that's not the life that Christ desires for us and has purpose for us. So, the Christian life is spelled D-O-N-E, done, and not D-O, not a bunch of rules that you have to follow. That's the difference between Christianity and all the other religions is that all the other religions, you have to do certain things. You have to, go to mass you have to ask for forgiveness from the priest and take the bread and drink the juice. And we do that as ordinances. By taking the Lord's Supper and being baptized, but we don't do it to be saved, to make us clean, to be saved. That's the difference between Christianity and a lot of these other religions, that you have to do a bunch of these rules and you have to abide by certain rules. And Christianity is none of that. It's having a relationship with Christ. It's having, it's knowing that you're not good enough and that you know you're not going to live. We're not perfect people and we're all, as long as we have this flesh on, we're still going to sin and we're still going to do things that we shouldn't do. And allowing Christ to his sacrifice to cover those sins for us and live a life of liberty and freedom that it talks about in Romans chapter 14. We have liberty in Christ because it's not following a bunch of rules and stuff. It's trusting in God that He's good enough for us. So, in other words, we were never asked or meant to live the Christian life on our own, right, Hallie? Right? We were never asked to live the Christian life on our own. And you may be thinking, what are you talking about? We're not asked to live the Christian life on our own. We're asked to let Christ live it through us, okay? You're not going to be able to live the Christian life on your own. You just simply can't do it. You're gonna manifest works of your flesh unless you let Christ live through you. So in words, we can manifest gentleness in words. In Proverbs chapter 15, I'm gonna hit a couple of these verses real quick and then we'll be finishing up. But back in Proverbs chapter 15, it says in verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Okay, a soft answer. So you know what really shocks people and takes people aback, and they're like, they look at you weird and they think you're they look at you funny, is whenever they say something to try to provoke anger out of you, or they try to say something that's going to hurt your feelings, or they try and, you know, get you to cuss or say something. And you know what you come back with? You come back with a soft answer. You come back with something that they're not expecting, and that is what Proverbs chapter 15 says, it turns away wrath. Wrath is anger. So people don't expect that whenever you have a soft answer for them instead of cursing or you know, something that you're getting mad and you let your you lose your temper. Soft answer is how we can manifest gentleness with our words. Proverbs 18, a couple chapters over, Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." And we know that James chapter 3 has a whole chapter about our tongue and how powerful our tongue is and how destructive our tongue can be. You don't realize it, but your tongue, what comes out of your mouth, you can build people up or you can tear people down. And what comes out of your mouth is, you know, have you guys ever heard that? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That is not true. I used to hear that a lot growing up. That is completely a lie from the devil. That if you think about it, words can never hurt you. Actually, words do hurt people. The things that we say as Christians does matter. And we can build people up or we can tear people down. And James, he talks about that. Go back and read James chapter 3 and read what it says about the tongue and about how man has been able to control and tame every beast on the earth, but the tongue can no man tame, is what it says. So the tongue is more powerful than any other deadly weapon that we can have at our exposure. Is the tongue can do a lot of damage if it's not used in the right way. And kindness in our words. And being encouraging, Ephesians chapter 4 has a good verse that I memorized growing up that I'm sure you guys have heard, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, and I quote this to my boys all the time. This is a verse that, like, when they say something they shouldn't say, and we, you know, people curse, and just because you curse doesn't mean you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying, but it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Just what's the word corrupt mean? Do you just define it? Just look that up and just look at the word corrupt. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearers." So we can display gentleness through our words, by edifying other people with our words, encouraging other people. So in our actions, things that we do, so we can display gentleness through our words and through our actions. And in 1 John chapter 3, a couple more verses, guys, and we'll be done. So hang with me. 1 John chapter 3. We can display gentleness through our actions by what it says here in John chapter 3 verse 18. "My little children," so this is talking to someone who's saved, you know, a young Christian right here. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So in your actions, love people in your actions. That's gentleness. And that the same passage that I just came from, I should have went to that one next. But Ephesians 4:32, where we were just at, says, "Be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Be kind one to another, tender hearted. So when you're kind to other people, are you guys, is there something going on? No? Okay. It looks like there is. Are we intentionally trying to display gentleness to others? Gentle, the word gentle, the root word for this gentleness, gentle, is closely related. So if you have time, for time's sake, I'm not going to hit all these verses right now, but there's, if you just type in the word gentle in your Blue Letter Bible app, if you have that on your phone, if you go to the search bar and type in gentle, it will give you a whole list of New Testament verses that are good explanations of the word gentle. And the gentle is the root word of this word gentleness, and it gives us a good description of, shows us how to treat other people. So I won't hit those right now for time's sake, but actually I will go to one real quick, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, but we were gentle among you, Paul writes here, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Gentle. So think about this, guys, whenever you are out at school and you're out in at your home and you're around other people, and I know this may not be a normal behavior for you, and it's not for most of us, because of our flesh wanting to overtake our actions all the time. But think about gentleness and think about kindness and think about edifying other people with your words, because it's not normal behavior. It's not normal behavior for most people. Holding your tongue, just simply, sometimes it's better just to not say anything. Okay? If you're not going to edify and encourage other people, people are going to try to provoke you. Other kids at school are going to say things that are going to try to irritate you, make you mad, whatever. Just don't say anything. Hold your tongue. Be mindful about what you're saying to others when you're around others. Not spouting off every time. Somebody, you know, there's some people, I know you guys probably interact with these people all the time, but some people just, they just run their mouth, and they do it all the time, and then nothing good comes out of it. And that's not how we want to be with our words and our actions. And edifying others, going out of your way to be affectionate to other people. This is not the way of the world. This is not normal behavior for people to do this. So the world tells us to look out for yourself. Who cares about other people? Just make sure you take care of yourself. Say whatever comes to your mind. A lot of people say, I don't have a filter. That's not a good way to live with your words and your actions. So think about that kind of stuff whenever you leave here today and go back to school this week, and think about your words, think about your actions, think about how you can be exhibit gentleness to other people. So if you guys want to have any questions or comments on that, come see me. Thank you all for being here this morning, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time this morning to look in your word. And I pray that we can be in tune with your Holy Spirit, and we can just die to our flesh every day. We can meet you in prayer in the morning and in your word, and we can ask you to help us to learn what it means to mortify, to crucify our flesh, and so that we can let the Holy Spirit live in and through us and display gentleness and these other characteristics to other people. And we just thank you for your word given to us this morning. Help us to learn something from Pastor Brian. Just pray for Luke and Brenda and their family as they're traveling this week. And help us to have a good week this week here with the Thanksgiving events taking place here. Help everybody come back on Wednesday. Have a good time and spend time together with friends and family, and just love each other. Thank you for being a good father to us and forgiving us. And just ask all this today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.